We start with 10 men who have the worst disease of their day. The physical ramifications are horrendous. Leprosy attacks the body, leaving sores, missing fingers, missing toes, damaged limbs. In many cases, the initial pain of leprosy gives way to something more terrible than that, a loss of sensation in nerve endings, leading to more damage to more body parts. The disease can take 30 years to run its course, and in that time span, entire limbs can simply fall off. It is a most horrible disease, and it's impossible for us to try to imagine what it was like 2,000 years ago when medical treatment, as we know it today, was almost non-existent. And the emotional pain of a leper must have been even worse than the physical pain. He was removed from his family, from his community. There could be no contact whatsoever with his children or grandchildren. None. Immediately removed. His wife would not even be allowed to kiss him goodbye. He would not have allowed it for fear that she too would become afflicted. Lepers tended to roam together looking for food, begging for assistance from a great distance, learning to yell in loud voices, both from the need to warn others and to beg for help from across the way. What would it have been like to have been banished from friends and family for a lifetime and to have been forced to announce that removal on a daily basis? It must have been horrible. You've probably touched more people this morning than the leper touched in years. Today you've been close to friends or family. Maybe a child has been in your lap. Maybe a hug met you at the door, or a touch on your arm from a friend. In this account, 10 men encounter Jesus and hear him say the most unusual thing. "We want to be well," they scream at Jesus, and the great teacher responds, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." The local priest had duties other than leading worship on the Sabbath. He was also something of a health official. If a person was miraculously healed of leprosy, it was up to the priest to inspect the body, to test for a complete removal of the disease, and to announce the person healed. In such cases, the person would have been cleansed, and at that point, it would be fine for the leper to see his wife again, to hold his daughter again, and to look for work again. If the priest gave him the okay, he would be healed. Now Jesus says to these lepers, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." They look down at their bodies. The hands of one man are still mangled. Another man looks at his leg, which ends in a filthy rag at his knee. Another looks at his skin and finds it as repulsive as ever. In other words, all of these men were no better off than they had been 10 minutes earlier when they'd first spotted the famous teacher. And yet, they headed off in search of the priests. And on their way, they were healed. On their way, a hand reappeared and tingled with life. The leg was back, healthy, whole, and complete. The skin cleared, and the tiny hairs on forearms turned from snow white to brown. One looked at the other, another looked at the rest, and the screaming started. The smiles broke into cheering and a sweet madness. They raced off in the distance, not believing that their nightmare was finally over. But in order for the miracle to happen, these men had to start walking in faith before their circumstances had changed one tiny bit. Jesus often said the word, and it was done. But here, Jesus offers healing in a different way. He told the lepers to go and show themselves to the priest, and as they went, they were healed. They weren't healed instantly, they were healed as they followed Jesus' instruction. In this miracle, Jesus calls for an act of faith before the healing comes. Sending the lepers to the priest was needed for them to be considered clean, but when they started out, their skin wasn't any different. They might even have wondered why they were going to the priest, because nothing had changed. They weren't healed, So what was the priest going to do? But they went because they believed that Jesus had the power to do something. They trusted him and they acted as if they were going to be healed. But while all 10 lepers were healed, it says that only one returned to Jesus to say thank you, and he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus holds him as an example of what it means to be faithful. It might have been quite difficult for his disciples and all the others, followers of Jesus, to understand and accept this healing because they didn't believe that the Samaritans deserved the love of God. They were people that no one in Israel thought deserved to be cared for or helped, and yet here is Jesus caring for them. And that's because the power and the love of God is for everyone. Today, it's still too easy for us to see some people as beyond the grace and love of God. We can be quick to judge others and believe that God's love simply can't reach or should even reach those who live differently to us. But God is not here just for us. God is here for and loves everybody. We may struggle with how people choose to live their lives. We may think that some people, some nations, or even some religions are beyond the ability for God to care for. But this story shows us that God really does love all and offers salvation to all. And it is salvation that Jesus offers the leper, not just healing. When he came back to thank Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And that word "well" means saved. Jesus didn't just heal the man. He said, "You're saved." Jesus offered him the grace of God, which brings the fullness of God's life. And this is what God still offers to everyone. There are times when we might feel far from God and beyond God's reach. But God's love does reach us. And it forgives us and saves us if we're willing to come to Jesus. What sets the Samaritan leper apart from the others was he turned back to say thank you. Turning back begins with one simple thing. We stop. Notice that this man isn't running back to Jesus yet. He's just stopped. While the others are continuing on, he's stopped. And he's looking at his hands and the healing that's taking place. He's thinking about what is happening and who's made it happen. He's stopped to consider, and that's the first step in giving thanks. We stop. Gratitude requires us to stop long enough to notice what is going on in our lives and think about who has helped to bring these good things. One of the things we all struggle with today is being so busy that we fail to stop and reflect. We fill each moment with activity or diversion, and when we get to the end of the day, we fall into bed exhausted until the alarm goes off the next morning and it all starts all over again. Even our weekends aren't times of rest and reflection. They're just as full as the work days. And so we've lost the ability to reflect on what's going on in our lives and who's brought all the good things and all the valuable opportunities. And being thankful doesn't always come very naturally to us. So we have to make a habit to stop and reflect. Stop every day this week, if you can, and come up with a few things for which you can give thanks. It might be something little, or it might be something big. But we need to begin the process of stopping long enough to reflect and see what's actually going on in our lives so that we can give thanks. Even if everything's falling apart, we need to find that one thing that we can give thanks for. One of the things that's interesting about giving thanks in Jesus' day is that many people didn't do it the way we do. People wouldn't say thank you as much as they would find a way to repay the person for their kindness later on. So the other 9 lepers who were healed and didn't return to Jesus, they may not have been rude and arrogant or ungrateful. They may just have thought they would repay Jesus at some point in the future. But the leper who did return, understood 2 important things. First, he understood that he might never get another chance to return to Jesus. Jesus was passing through, so he wouldn't have had the opportunity to repay him in the future. So he needed to do something right there and then. We always think we'll get another chance or another opportunity to say thank you or to set our lives right or to turn our lives around. But we may not. So we need to make the most of the moments we have today. Second, the man probably thought, how can I ever repay Jesus for this? He couldn't. That's the thing. So instead of even trying, he simply returns to Jesus and doesn't say thank you, but he throws himself at Jesus' feet and praises God. He worships Jesus and gives him the only thing that he can, which is a heart full of love and appreciation. And that is what God wants for most of us, a heart full of love and appreciation. God doesn't want all the things we can give him or the things we can do for him. He doesn't want any attempts to repay him. What he wants is our heart and lives devoted to him. He wants us to worship him and allow that worship and love to shape our lives. Like the lepers who set off to see the priest before the healing came, we need to step out in faith and trust that God will work in our lives before the help and power comes. God might say, love me despite your disease, worship me despite your hardship or illness or fear. Follow me now despite the desperation. Say no to temptation now while it is difficult. Praise me in the darkest of nights and in the worst of circumstances. God, who loves us so much, he gives us the opportunity to be thankful when nothing about our circumstances gives us that motivation. We don't know what awaits us today or this week. Can we be thankful despite difficult circumstances? We have to take the steps first, and then allow God's grace and power to help us. We need to respond by taking steps of faith, and we need to respond by learning to say thank you. We can't repay God for all that he's given us and all that he's done for us and continues to do for us. We can't repay God, but we can say thank you. And we do that by stopping long enough to notice all that God has done and is doing in our life. Gratitude draws us closer to God and closer to one another. This leper returned to Jesus, and because he did, he entered into a very different relationship with Jesus than the other 9. When we give thanks to God, not only do we draw nearer to God, but God draws nearer to us. Expressing our gratitude also draws us closer to one another. Saying thank you to people helps build, strengthen, and even heal relationships. This applies to those you love too, your partner, your children, your friends. Saying thank you for who they are and what they do, and the joy they bring to your life. Nothing can scar you so badly that Jesus won't touch you. Jesus is willing to love, lovingly touch you and hold you and restore you. No sin has made you unlovable. Jesus is willing to call you his friend and stand beside you. No fear has disqualified you. No problem has put your life on hold. The miracle of thanksgiving is the love of Jesus for you. No exceptions, no qualifications, no doubts. He loves you. And for that, oh God, we are so thankful.